could there maybe possibly be a dinosaur still alive today, maybe in some remote regions of planet Earth?
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is Real Science Radio. I'm Fred Williams.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Fred, this week, we're going to welcome back Dino Dave Wetzel to talk about a subject I think we've covered before here on Real Science Radio. Mysterious creatures reportedly seen around the world, maybe even deep in jungles in Africa, that have all the earmarks of living dinosaurs. And I think one of them is called Dikembe Mutombo. Is that right, Dave?
Well, you're not quite right. I mean, he was a great basketball player, but we're talking about great reptiles here, Doug.
Ah, yes. I gotcha. So it's not Dikembe Mutombo. Let me give it a try because you helped me before we went on the air. Mokele Mbembe.
Quite good. Quite good. It's one of those strange African words. There's no vowel between the M and the B. Mokele Mbembe.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait. I want to hear all about it. Now, we've covered dinosaurs extensively here on Real Science Radio, but you're bringing an angle that I don't know that we've explored all that much. Tell us about it.
Well, this is a passion of mine. I'm Dino Dave, and this is something that's really near and dear to my heart. It's to show that men and dinosaurs coexisted. And you can do that two ways. Obviously, you can bring dinosaurs, which are deemed to have lived 60 million years ago, up closer to the present. And we can do that by showing how people did drawings of dragons and this type of thing. We can also do it by putting evidence of man deep in the fossil record alongside the dinosaur and artifacts. And we can do this by talking about, for example, footprints alongside a dinosaur tracks, human footprints and dinosaur footprints. We can do this by talking about like a bell that was discovered in a layer of coal that's supposed to be 300 million years old. And so this is some of what we want to talk about today is the evidence that men and dinosaurs coexisted. But then also I would like to take you virtually on an expedition to Cameroon where we went just last year, not quite a year ago, looking for Mokele Mbembe.
Okay, Dave, I'm excited to hear about this expedition you took to Cameroon. I know there's different animals supposedly sighted in that area and in the Congo of creatures that look remarkably like dinosaurs. And, you know, we probably haven't spent a lot of time talking on the show about this. We spent a lot of time about the soft tissue. You know, we that's just the most powerful evidence we've seen in such a long time. But even before that, there were all these accounts of humans and dinosaurs living together. And I think it's great to remind people of all this evidence. And I can't wait for you to get into all of this.
Okay, but wait a second, Dave. Fred, you can try. We cannot let Fred get by without trying to pronounce Mokele Mbembe. Come on, Fred.
Okay, Mokele Mbembe Mutombo.
All right. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you know, Dave, hey,
Doug,
our listening audience.
Trust me, in the interesting fact of the week, I will get my revenge against you.
All right. Anyway, Dave, I can guarantee you everyone who listens to the show regularly, the first thing on their mind was, I want to hear Fred pronounce that word. Anyway,
we'll give him a C grade this time, but I'm sure as he works on it, he'll do better.
Okay, well, we appreciate your linguistic assistance, and we have covered some dinosaur tracks. I'm very interested to see if your research coincides with other things we've heard, because one of the ways you recognize truth as you go through life is that you hear the same thing from different unrelated sources and you hear different facts and specifics about events and stories that you've heard. And over time, you can put together what seems to be closest to the truth, at least in this fallen world. And so I'm very interested to hear where there's a confluence between what I've already heard and what Dino Dave is going to bring to Real Science Radio right now.
All right, so let's talk about the truth about dinosaurs. And just as we get started, I do want to mention just briefly that we do have a website. Genesis Park is my organization, and genesispark.com. And our tagline is this: dinosaurs, living evidence of a powerful creator. And I truly believe that. I truly believe, Doug and Fred, that dinosaurs were made by God to show forth his greatness and his power. And that's part of why I get so exercised and bothered that dinosaurs have been hijacked. They've been used to sell a godless theory of evolution. And you can hardly pick up a book on dinosaurs or go to a museum display on dinosaurs or go to a park where there's dinosaur bones and not hear millions and millions of years before man evolved, these creatures walked on Earth and so forth and so on. Dinosaurs evolved to birds. So this is why I entitle this The Truth About Dinosaurs. And there's a lot more that I have there on my website. Feel free, if you like that kind of thing, to go out and take a look around, and you can and drop me a note there. I get asked sometimes what happened to me. How did I go from being a kind of an ordinary young boy to being Dino Dave? Where did I take a wrong turn to have that happen? Well, and I have to give credit to the Boston Museum of Science, for when I was a young person living in New Hampshire, growing up in Concord, New Hampshire, we did a field trip to the Boston Museum of Science. And it was the first chance I ever had to see a real dinosaur skeleton. Like, this was the real actual bones of this Triceratops. And I was just so excited as a young man to actually see this. Was like, wow, that is so cool. This is real. This actually walked. And but then to look at the plaque, I kind of looked down, and there was the plaque that said this dinosaur lived about 60 million years ago and blah, blah, blah. And on they went with the evolutionary speculation. And that bothered me even as a teenager, to the point where I got into an argument with some of the staff there at the Boston Museum of Science. So I give them credit with starting me on this trajectory to being an apologetic speaker and going around talking about creation, science, the Bible, and how dinosaurs fit into the Word of God.
Oh, wow. So, Dave, how old were you when you got into an argument with the museum?
I think I was in ninth grade, so like 14 or something like that, yeah.
So by the time you were 14, you were already ensconced in the Christian worldview, Jesus Christ, creation.
Yes, yeah. Wow. And I went to a Christian school. In fact, it was a Christian school that did the field trip. But I just loved dinosaurs. And so this was like the thing that like magnetized me. And, you know, it's not unusual. I think a lot of young people are drawn into all the dinosaurs. Many are drawn into science or paleontology or maybe archaeology or other things because of the fascination of these creatures. And why do they grab us? They grab us because they're so big and they're so fierce and, you know, would seem to be that they're all gone. And this is a puzzle. It's a mystery that is just begging to be explored. And so my mission is to go around and redeem the reptiles from the evolutionists and be able to use them for the glory of our Creator. Well, I went on from Christian school to get a master's degree in biology from Clemson University. I was a businessman for a number of years, 25 or so years I ran a business. Then I was able to sell that business and pursue my passion, which is really apologetics, writing, speaking, and researching the dinosaurian creatures. And what I have seen, and I think you guys have seen this, probably most people have, is there have been a lot of revolutions in our ideas about the dinosaurs. For example, here's Life magazine all the way back in 1953. Believe it or not, I wasn't even born yet. Don't know about Fred, but I was still a star. But here's Life magazine. It's true. Dinosaurs grew so vast and so ponderous, they expanded into decadence and doom. Basically, guys, they got the fat that went extinct. So that's 1953, right? Here's 1995, rethinking the riddle of the dinosaurs. And of course, that didn't quite get it right either now, because hang on a minute. Here's Time magazine. The truth about dinosaurs, surprise, just about everything you believe is wrong.
And what year is that?
Just about everything that magazine article is wrong.
What year is that time? What year is the Time magazine article?
That one I think is late 90s, because it's talking about Jurassic Park there. So I'm guessing that's late 90s.
It's hilarious. It's almost as bad as the global warming covers that I've seen.
Well, it's funny you mentioned global warming. I don't know if it's in your talk, Dave, but that was one of the things that came up on O'Reilly Factor. What killed the dinosaurs? Global warming.
There's lots of theories of what killed the dinosaurs. In fact, here is National Geographic just from a year and a half ago. And it says, our understanding of dinosaurs is seeing a revolution, one fueled by a wealth of fresh fossils and innovative research techniques. And so they still haven't figured out the dinosaurs. And part of the problem, guys, I really think is because they're starting in the wrong place. They're not starting with God's word. They're starting with a faulty foundation of this paradigm of evolution that just colors everything and is leading them in the wrong direction. So here's what I'm hoping to cover in the next 45, 50 minutes or so. One, why did God make the dinosaurs? Number two, what happened to the dinosaurs? We'll have some fun with that one. Number three, how did dinosaurs fit into the Bible? A lot of people ask me about that. And number four, could a dinosaur still be alive? And that's what we're going to talk about, your friend and mine, Mokele Mbembe. Okay, this is the theme verse for our organization. And I have it here in the King James Version. But it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. Isaiah 40:28 is asking an incredulous question. How can you not know this? Mm. You see, the prophet says there's some things that we should be able to ascertain about the creator just by looking at the world around us. Now, we're not going to get the gospel. We're not going to get Jesus Christ and his love for us to come die for our sins. But we should be able to understand that whoever made this himself lives outside of time. He is everlasting. We should also be understanding the fact that he has tremendous power. He never faints. Whoever made the stars and the galaxies has power beyond our wildest imagination. And then also tremendous intelligence. So we could call this omniscience. You look at the human genome and you look at the intricacies in biology and the tremendous complexity that we don't even understand, much less have the ability to replicate. So I think that there's a message of creation that God is trying to communicate. And I think dinosaurs play a part of this message. We talked about this a little earlier because they're so big and they're so fierce. They just kind of grab us. What's the deal with these things? But they demonstrate God's greatness and his power. And then if some still exist today, they are smaller than they were in the fossil record, which fits with the creation model. Guys, here's the little sneaky secret of the fossil record. Everything in the past was bigger, healthier, and lived longer than today. It's not evolving, it's de-evolving.
Mm. Yeah, when you say everything, you're not just referring to dinosaurs in the fossil record, just everything.
No,
alligators, crocodiles.
Yeah. Exactly. You got 3-foot dragonfly wings. You've got, you know, rats that are 1 ton. You got all kinds of big bugs and stuff. So yeah, there's lots of stuff that's bigger and healthier in the past, but they were 150 feet long in the fossil record, weighing maybe up to 100 tons. And today they're about the size of a hippopotamus, you know, if what the pygmies is saying is accurate. And I do think they're trustworthy. So things have gotten smaller. And that's the reality of a fallen, cursed world, is that we see environmental degradation, we see genetic decline, and this is part and parcel of the fact that our world is not evolving, it's de-evolving, it's running downhill, it's entropy, biological entropy, and it's exactly what we would expect from reading Genesis 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Now, here's another reason I like the dinosaurs and why I think they're part of the message of creation. Dinosaur fossils show up suddenly with no evidence of evolutionary ancestors. And if you don't believe me on this, here is the British Museum of Natural History and their book, Where Do Dinosaurs Come From? And they say, dinosaurs are one of the most successful groups of animals to have roamed the planet, from small creatures just a few feet long to some of the largest animals ever to have walked Earth. But despite their long evolutionary history, the origin of dinosaurs remains shrouded in mystery. When they first appeared, they were already recognizably dinosaurs. I love it.
Yeah, I've seen their diagrams with the dinosaurs, and they got all these dashed lines of these supposed what they evolved from, but they're all dashed lines. They don't have any examples in the fossil record.
Yeah, no, they can't agree on what they came from. It's just wild speculation. And here's another quote. This is PLOS One, it's a journal article, 2011. The origin of sauropod dinosaurs is one of the major landmarks of dinosaur evolution, but still poorly understood. This drastic transformation involved major skeletal modifications, including a shift from the small and glacial condition of primitive sauropodomorphs to the gigantic and quadrupedal condition of sauropods. And so we're going to talk about the sauropods, but the sauropods are great evidence for creation. But as we discussed, this doesn't keep them from using dinosaurs to cell evolution. And Dr. Sean Carroll graduated from Harvard University, and he writes in his book, "Dinosaurs are the poster children of evolution. They inspire the vast majority of those who touch them." So unfortunately, I have to agree with Dr. Carroll that they've been very successful in co-opting the dinosaurs. But I believe the answer to question number one there is God made the dinosaurs to show his power and his glory. And we'll see that a little bit more later as we visit about dinosaurs fitting in the Bible and talk about the book of Job. But let's talk about number two. What happened to the dinosaurs? Here's it. Possibility. Did you think they all evolved to birds? Dino Dave, when you go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, you're eating a dinosaur. Don't you know that? Okay, well, not quite. Here's what they don't tell you when the museums and the books talk about dinosaurs evolving into birds. Contrary to popular beliefs, modern types of birds have been found alongside dinosaur bones in the exact same rock layer. These include parrots, owls, penguins, ducks, loons, albatross, cormorants, sandpipers, avocets, as well as others. Now, I want you to look here for just a minute, Fred and Doug. Look at the date on that, 2011, right? So this is creation. It's Don Batten is a creationist. And we've been saying this now for 15 years or more, that no, dinosaurs have been buried alongside birds, fully modern birds. There's no way that a dinosaur over millions of years is becoming a proto-bird, which over millions of more years is becoming all of the various kinds of modern birds we see today. No, these are already buried alongside the dinosaurs. Now, look at this. This is National Geographic 2024. We're making some progress here. National Geographic says, quote, "The picture emerging now shows animals that look very much like modern birds, flying and diving and pecking in the shadow of the dinosaurs. A select few made it through the mass extinction, and that's when birds as we know them really took off." So what are they admitting here? There are many birds and dinosaurs coexisted, so how is a dinosaur going to be great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpapa to the first proto-bird?
Well, Dave, the damage is already done with the dino to bird story. And the thing with the evolutionists is they'll just move on to the next story and then pretend like they didn't tell that other story. It's really amazing. The devil is very audacious, which I think is why he latched on to the dinosaurs, is because he's such an audacious liar. It's just shocking that his minions have adopted the same ability to lie in the most audacious fashion and then move on to the next lie, and people still believe them. It's weird.
At some point, they shouldn't have any credibility left.
Amen.
Worse than that is all the people who will still tell you that dinos evolved to birds, because they won't have heard of all this evidence, you know. To somewhat to their defense, is they've been brainwashed. They don't know about this thing being refuted because they're not going to be told about it being refuted.
Yeah, so we got a lot of work to do still, and well, that's, I guess, why we're here talking about it, right?
There you go.
So what did kill the dinosaurs off? If they didn't just evolve the birds, what did kill them off? How did it go from this kind of a reptilian paradise so that reptiles went crazy? We have their skeletons literally from Antarctica all the way up to Alaska and all around the earth. Why did it become so inhospitable that by and large they all went extinct? What killed them off? And of course, the prevailing theory is this meteor theory, right? There was this huge meteor, Fred, that came smashing into the Yucatan Peninsula, kapow, you know, like a tremendous nuclear weapon, and it just toasted them all, man. It fried them all. And that was the end of the dinosaurs. But what they don't tell you, even though that's the most popular theory, that there is not even a majority of paleontologists that believe that theory. There's 24 different theories, and there's not a majority of paleontologists that believe any of them. they argue back and forth. Like you talked about, was it global warming? Was it a meteor? Sometimes you hear about a change in the oxygen ratios and maybe creatures as large as dinosaurs, they couldn't hold on. So they had to run for their oxygen tank. And when that gave out, that was the end of the poor Triceratops. There's just lots of different theories. Here's one. You think they missed the boat. Just maybe they got their calendar wrong and the boat floated off. No. We know God was in charge of this thing. And so even though that theory is kind of funny, it's you can't think of it as being serious because, well, we read about two of every kind on the ark, and that would include two of every kind of dinosaur.
Ah, that's right. Every kind. Very good.
Yes. Yeah. So, and that may not mean you have Diplodocus and Apatosaurus and, you know, Brontosaurus and Brachiosaurus and Titanosaurus and Argentinosaurus and literally every sauropod variety out there. Maybe just a couple of sauropods, maybe, you know, a couple of varieties of sauropods, but yeah, kinds, biblical kinds.
Hmm.
So what would we say as creationists, biblically informed, was the reason for the dinosaurs by and large going extinct? Number one, post-flood environmental changes. So we don't have time really to visit about this today, but we believe after the flood, that was around 700 years, 500 years to build up and 200 years to melt back, but about a 700-year ice age. And that would have been a kind of a rough time for large reptiles. But then people. You know, we can't take people out of this equation. People begin to spread out from the Tower of Babel, but the animals had already spread out. They obeyed God, and they'd established various local populations of great reptiles in different areas. People encountered them, and they call them dragons. They're hunted because they're a threat or killed for food or medicine. Someone wants to be a hero. But then I think some did survive till recent times, and that word dinosaur was not invented till 1841 and used for the first time in print in 1842. And so before that, all the historians, all the naturalists, all the people that were out digging up bones of these creatures called them dragons.
Dave, why do you think that changed? Why did they change from dragons to dinosaurs?
It wasn't a terribly specific scientific word. So, for example, people say, can we draw an equal sign between dragons and dinosaurs? Well, not exactly. Dragon is a little bit more of a looser, more popular term. Different cultures would have probably called a crocodile a dragon. They certainly would have called a plesiosaur. I've got a plesiosaur here and the great swimming reptiles. People say it's a swimming dinosaur. Well, it's not. The dinosaurs are the walking great reptiles, okay? Things like the Apatosaurus or T-Rex or something like this. The swimming ones, like this plesiosaur, are not considered dinosaurs. So the plesiosaur, ichthyosaur, mosasaur, they're reptiles, but they're not dinosaurs. Also, the great flying ones. Some people say, well, it's a dino bird or it's a flying dinosaur. Not really. Dinosaur is a very exact scientific term, zoological term, and it's the walking great reptiles. And within class Reptilia, you've got these different orders, and there's two orders, Saurischia and Ornithischia, that encompass the dinosaurs. Pterosaurs are their own order. Pterosaurs are the great flying reptiles, and so they would have been called dragons. They'd just been called flying dragons, swimming dragons. So dinosaur is a little bit more of a precise word, but certainly all the dinosaurs would have been considered dragons in those days. But Sir Richard Owen just wanted to kind of put it on a little bit more of a firmer scientific footing. I also have read that he was not an evolutionist. And part of the reason why he used that word dinosaur or terrible lizard is to try to say the really big, terrible creatures lived not today, but in the past. And so things are getting smaller, which is, again, the opposite of evolution.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, getting back to what happened to the dinosaurs, what I've found is sometimes there's like this recency bias. I don't know if you noticed this, Dave, but, you know, there really was an episode where on Bill O'Reilly, they had a guy on there saying, well, it's climate change. Well, I remember, I think 10, 15 years earlier, it was AIDS that killed the dinosaurs. So I wonder with recency bias, the newest one's going to be they all became trans and just didn't reproduce.
Oh,
is that a prediction we can do for Real Science Radio, Doug?
Yo, let's start taping O'Reilly. He might have that guy on. But Dave, that information that you just gave us and our audience, This is why Dino Dave, you can't pay for this kind of information. Just in less than a minute and a half, you expanded my understanding of dinosaurs way beyond what my seventh grade biology teacher taught me, which is about as far as I ever got with dinosaurs. Sir Richard Owen and the scientific designation, that's all very helpful in helping us understand where this conversation evolved.
Okay.
It did evolve. That's really great stuff. Yeah.
I'll take it. But see, this was your question is going to segue nicely into number three. People sometimes ask me, well, if the Bible is the word of God, why doesn't it talk about dinosaurs? Like, you know, we think it was written by people who lived thousands of years ago and just were ignorant and they didn't know about dinosaurs because they weren't digging in the earth. And yet there were these huge reptiles that kind of were all over the earth and had this whole age of great reptiles. And, but if God wrote it, how come it doesn't talk about it? And the answer is it does talk about it. It just doesn't use the word dinosaur because it didn't exist till 1842. Bible's translated back in the 1600s. So it's not going to use the word dinosaur, but it uses the word dragon. King James Version will use it a couple dozen times. And so let's talk about how dinosaurs fit into the Bible. And this is kind of a big thing. Dinosaurs living with man is actually pretty important. Some folks will come to my website and like, well, Dino Dave, is this a fundamental of the faith? No, it's not. But creation is. And so it's real important. When we talk about creation, evolution, the authority of God's word. And so it's important for people to understand how dinosaurs fit in and that they even would glorify God. And I've had people say, well, I think dinosaurs did never exist because there's so much evolutionary speculation. Well, they did exist. We have the bones and we need to deal with them. And the Bible elegantly does. I think a great opportunity to argue against evolution. And a number of evolutionists have admitted dinosaurs with man would be a massive problem. Here's Arthur Stroller, and he wrote the biggest anti-creation book out there called Evolution, Creation Controversy. And he says, it's conceivable a scientist will someday discover human bones among dinosaur bones in such a relationship that it's highly likely that humans and dinosaurs lived at the same time. Such a finding would deal a crushing blow to the widely favored hypothesis of a unique evolutionary sequence. In proper language, the hypothesis of evolution would be falsified. And we would say hallelujah to that. But I don't actually think it would happen. If I caught one and brought it back, they would pivot and kind of like you were saying earlier, Fred, I think, you know, they just, you know, turn the story around. Oh, well, so one was so well adapted for its environment that it was able to survive virtually unchanged by the, you know, pressures of natural selection till today. And they just kind of keep on marching forward. But it would, it'd be definitely big news. It would be a huge, huge deal. And so Stroller admits that.
There's some evolution wiki page that says if you find DNA in dinosaur bones, that would refute, pretty much they're admitting that would refute, that would falsify, you know, evolution. And it's still there, even though they don't realize that, you know, how close we are.
Well, we have.
Even the Journal of Bone reported finding DNA. And I
We have a Hyperkerasaurus fossil that actually discovered dinosaur DNA. Yep. I don't think it's pristine enough to, you know, do much with it, but, yeah, it's pretty cool. Here's Louis Jacobs, and he was president of the Society of Vertebrate Paleontology. He comments about the co-occurrence of men and dinosaurs. Such an association would dispel an earth with vast antiquity, the entire history of creation.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there for today, but be sure to join us next week for the conclusion of our conversation with Dino Dave Wetzel. Dave will show us where dinosaurs appear in the Bible, including the remarkable description of Behemoth in the book of Job. And then we'll head deep into the jungles of Cameroon as Dave tells us about his expedition in search of a creature that natives say is still living there today. You won't want to miss it next week on Real Science Radio. Intelligent Design.